Father, we thank you for the many ways that you bless us, Lord. We thank you for the Thanksgiving season where we actually take time to look upon our lives and to thank you for the many, many blessings. What a wondrous God you are to grant us salvation and to love the likes of us, Lord. It is amazing. Open our minds and hearts, Lord, to receive all that you would have for us. This is such a critical chapter in Scripture. If without chapter 3, the rest of the Bible makes absolutely no sense. So teach us today, Lord. Be our teacher. And we'll simply give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Get my body situated here. I got to get on a chair. Some good questions came in the question box. I'm going to try to hit them at the very end. So if I don't, you can throw a tomato at me. I'll try to remember. But have you ever heard it said that you could just improve the environment, men's improvement or his behavior would improve? Well, we hear that a lot, don't we? Well, Adam and Eve had a perfect environment and had perfect freedom, but they sinned anyway. Environment is not the determining factor. The foundation of all sin lies in man's desires for self-assertion and his determination to be and act independent of God. The whole thing boiled down here in the garden, it really boiled down to choice. And that's the very same thing for us. Believe God or believe Satan? You say, well, Eve didn't know very much. Yeah, Eve knew enough. But sin did not begin on earth. And that's something we forget about. It began in heaven. And it began in the heart of an angelic being of the highest order. And he was cast down to earth. God was going to use him. Sin came into the garden. It came in by disguised as a serpent. And Satan possessed him. I tried to show you a little blurb out of that movie. Actually, it was a very, very beautiful creature. And we don't know how long he'd been calling to Eve or had been talking to her. It's interesting, we got a question in the question box. Did animals talk prior to the flood? And I thought to myself, immediately I think of my cat saying, and I don't like this kibble, could you get some kibble? But you know, immediately I said, no. But Dr. Henry Morris, in his book, said that it's very possible that animals spoke. Isn't that a kicker? Anyway, I'll leave it up to you. I think she wasn't surprised because he had spoken to her before and it was Satan speaking through the serpent, not a snake. So please know it was Satan. And we'll have to find out, maybe in the millennium, where they'll speak again, who knows. Anyway, this Satan's first name, or his original name, was Lucifer. He was an angel of God who rebelled against God because of his desire to be equal with God. We don't know when this happened, but we can probably safely put it between chapters 2 and chapter 3 of Genesis. But God has pronounced his doom. I think it's a point of interest, though, that Satan appears in the third chapter in Genesis, and he is doomed, or is being put away, is the third chapter from the end in the book of Revelation. You know, when you begin to study this and put it all together, that's why I gave you Revelation and Genesis, so you could see how precise God is. I mean, it just amazes me. That was all new to me. That's why I put it in your lesson, and you probably didn't like it because it was a chart. But that's the way it goes. So here Satan entered the body of the serpent, and he was quite beautiful. And, of course, the question came in about, I don't know where I put it, about the serpent. Remember, We think of snake and serpent, but Satan actually possessed this creature, and he's quite beautiful. And God cursed him to the ground. So every time you see a snake, just remember of Genesis. It's a little reminder. Today, Satan often comes to us as an angel of light. He tempts us in good things, especially Christians, to keep us from God's best. But he also can be a roaring lion. And if you're a new believer, you have to get chomped on a few times before you realize, oh, that's Satan. And be aware, this is why God gives us armor. And you know where the armor is because I've taught it many times. Ephesians 6. Get that down, especially if you're a new believer, because you'll get devoured a few times. Now, Satan opened his conversation with Eve with doubts. Threefold doubts. The first thing was an attack on God's word. Has God said? It's nothing new today. It's the same thing. How do you know it's the word of God? Men wrote it. Didn't men write it? All different men? Who's the author? Don't you know it's full of error? Well, I've been reading it through, I don't know, maybe about 40 times. And I can't find any error. There's one problem with the date of a king. It's different in Chronicles than it is in Samuel. But you know what? That doesn't affect my salvation at all. It's an amazing work of God, the Bible. You know, it was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and it was translated into Latin, then into Greek. And we still have a very, very wonderful book. It's very accurate. My son, who reads Hebrew, he can take his Bible of the book of Daniel and go to the, you know, that place in Israel. Where they keep the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's a senior moment. And he can read the book of Daniel, and it's the same in his own translation. So know our Bible is very accurate. Well, Satan said to Eve, you won't die. That's one of those lies. And the whole temptation hinged on the matter of belief. Who would she believe? And of all of us, we say, don't do it, don't do it. But it's been done. Then he deluded her. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. So Eve threw away her innocence for a conscience. And it was disastrous. It was miserable. It was a terrible bargain. Did you happen to notice that Satan didn't tempt Adam at all? He let Eve do it. She became his tool. And you know what, women? If you're married, be very careful what you say to your husband, because the enemy can use you to defeat him and discourage him. It's so easy. Well, here she becomes the seducer. And you had that in your lesson in 1 John 2, where it just ties right in with she saw that it was good for food that appealed to the lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes. You couldn't see it in that movie last time we were together, but it looked like a tomato sprayed gold. It was really very pretty. And then it was to make you wise like God, so that appealed to the pride of life. But you know what? Obedience shows who we trust. If you believe God, you will be obedient. So what do you do with your temptations? Well, I encourage you to stay away from them or to run. It's so easy, isn't it, to take that fruit and just kind of smell it and look at it and handle it. And I'll tell you, run. If you overspend, don't go to the malls. If you overeat, get somebody else to buy your food. Otherwise, you'll come home with all your little favorites like chips and other good stuff like that. And if you work, there's always that man at work that will pay attention to you. Well, you look very nice today. Wow. maybe your husband hasn't given you a compliment in 10 years. So, you know, when women went back to work, or actually went to work in the public, it really created a mess. So many marriages did not survive it. Well, I can just have another glass of wine. After all, I've had a hard day. I'll just relax. And pretty soon the pressure mounts and the bottle's gone. You know, all Eve had to do was thus saith the Lord. That's all she had to do. And she wasn't hungry. She had every fruit available. So, well, remember, it's not a sin to be tempted, but watch out for the small things, the little things that are like termites. They just kind of eat away at the foundation. Well, I only had a cup of coffee with him at work. Yeah, watch it. Because they eat away at the foundation and then there's a collapse. Remember, Adam and Eve did not have to disobey. They chose to. Also remember the downside. I think this is where Satan just makes me so mad. Because there's always a downside. He never spoke about the guilt that she would have afterwards or the psychological problems. And isn't that true after an abortion? And so many women are just suffering today because they realize what they've done. And how about sexually transmitted diseases? Hey, when I was in high school, there was only 2. 100 years ago. Syphilis and gonorrhea. And now, because of the sexual revolution, there's 29. Boy, that free sex really paid off, didn't it? And unfortunately, most of them you'll have the rest of your life. We need to listen and obey God, our number one protection. He's our number one protection. Do things His way and you'll be protected. Yeah. Well, Adam and Eve ate the fruit and they died immediately. Well, how'd they die? They died spiritually. We learned last time we were together that death is separation. That's what it means. Adam and Eve were separated from God, spiritually dead. They lost their covering. A covering of light, we believe, and that's taken from Psalm 104:2. And I'll just leave that with you because I don't know. Yeah, you can fool with that one, what they were covered with. Well, guilt caused them to be naked before God. And so they sewed fig leaves together. And that's man's earliest attempt to cover sin. But you remember in Isaiah, we learned that all our efforts are but filthy rags. What are those filthy rags? Those are menstrual cloths. Because in those days, they didn't have tampons and pads. They used cloths only for menstrual periods, and then they washed them. But you know what? We try anyway, don't we? I remember seeing this woman crawling over rocks and stones and cement, getting to the temple where she could put on a little bit of gold. I've seen in the Philippines where they actually hang themselves on Good Friday by hammering things through their hands. I've seen people using hundreds of beads trying to give back prayers to God. I've seen the Muslim men, and you have too, bowing down to God with these vain, repetitious prayers. And it counts to nothing but fig leaves. Later, Adam and Eve would die a physical death, and they would have died right then, that day, because in Genesis 1, 2, 2, 17, it says, "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So they died spiritually, and they would have died physically if God hadn't stepped in. It's amazing. his tremendous amount of love for us. And of course, then the third death, which you had in your lesson, is eternal death, and that's how you can remember this. If you've been born once, you'll die twice. If you've been born twice, you'll die once. Now, that is total confusion. Just know that the second death is eternal death from God and all that He is, love, life, light. You must be born again. Now, Adam and Eve had to hide from God, but God came after them. Just read over that. Just think of the enormity. God came after them. That's how much He loved them. He loves us with a perfect love, even when we are sinners. Here in the third chapter, we learn God's way of discipline. It's beautiful. He asks questions. And He comes to Adam and Eve. He says, where are you? He's not asking for where are they physically. He's asking for where they are spiritually. He knows. He's asking, what condition are you in? Eve had expected to be like God, but instead she was hiding from Him. Well, God was giving them time to fess up and repent. And so I have to ask the questions to us. Are we hiding from God? Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped reading your Bible? Have you stopped going to church? Remember, we always do. You say, well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to do the study. I don't have enough time to go to church. But remember, we always do what's most important to us. Always. Adam and Eve, before this event, they had joy walking and talking with God. And now it was a dreaded event. His presence was terrifying. Adam and Eve were overlooking the single greatest truth in the whole universe, though God loved them. He loved them in their sin as much as He, so much so that He sought them out. When God confronted them, instead of a confession, though, they made things worse. I just remember raising my six kids, and I can remember all the excuses. No. Well, that's something else. But we still do it. Who took the last cookie? And in our house now, we have to blame the cat, which, of course, the cat would have taken away. So what did they do? They taught us everything they know. They blamed each other. And so instead of confessing their sin, they didn't. And of course, sin causes separation and division, because sin of men are separated from God and each other and from nature. It's a disaster, isn't it? But you know what? Jesus was separated from His Father on the cross so that you and I would never have to have that separation. That was separation unto death, unto hell. So when you read that, my God, you have forsaken me. You will never be forsaken because of that. That should have been our cry. He did that so you and I would never have to experience the second death. So when we accept Jesus as our Savior, He's also our substitute, as well as our Savior. We are no longer separated from God. Study Romans 5, 12 through 21, and you'll just see what the Lord has done for us. Well, we have the big question on your lesson, what is sin? And this is the easiest way to remember what sin is that big letter in the middle, the big I. That really sums it all up. It's living to please self with no responsibility towards others, ignoring God's commands, foolishly believing life is best when there are no restraints, self-centeredness, wanting one's own way. I remember when I wrote that down, I thought, gee, that sounds just like the people who are out there demonstrating, doesn't it? I thought, oh my word. So what do? We do very much like Adam and Eve. We hide. We rationalize. We play blind. And don't you do that when your kids are acting out, being naughty? You know, you just know you have to step in, and you just don't have the energy. So you just kind of go blind to it. Sometimes we retreat by silence. That's a good one that wives do. We fail to get involved, fail to love. And then we compare ourselves with others. Oh, I'm not as bad as those people down there demonstrating in Oakland, so I'm pretty good. So, we're not. And don't compare yourself. Compare yourself with what the Word says. You say, well, everyone's doing it. This is one that teenagers use a lot. It's, if you really search it out, you'll find maybe only one other person is doing it. So we're not as bad as. Or we get busy and forget it. I got to fix dinner. I can't bother. Or we blame our environment, our government, our parents. Oh, the list is endless, isn't it? We forget in Numbers 32:23 that says your sin will find you out. Well, any attempt to hide from God does not keep God from seeing us. It only keeps us from seeing Him. Be sure your sin will find you out. Some Christians are afraid to walk in the light of God because God's light searches out all self-centeredness. You know, search me, O God. Sometimes that's hard to say, isn't it? Because we've got something in the background. We don't want God looking at it. We stick it in the back closet and hope He doesn't see it. It doesn't work that way. But did you see all that God did for us before the world began? This is right in your lesson. I had to hide these from the cat. She likes to lick off the ink. So I have no excuse today if it's blurry. It's my own handwriting. Anyway, before the foundation of the world, God had this thing all planned out. He chose us. That's hard to get a grasp of, isn't it? Then He planned our salvation. Amazing. You know, you wonder about the love of God. Just think on that for a while. And He prepared a kingdom for us. And then in Titus we learn He promised eternal life to all who believe. So that's just beautiful. He knows me and yet He loves me. That's true for all of us. I was a poor, wretched piece of junk, really. I was expecting our sixth child and I had no answers for the other five even until somebody dragged me to Bible study. Everything was cursed. So we have to ask the question, is there any hope? Yeah, the ground was cursed. Somebody asked that in the question box. What about the ground? The ground was cursed. Adam would have a tough time making a living out of the ground. And you know that because every spring when you have to go out and work in the yard, you've got weeds to deal with and you've got bugs to deal with. And it's always continuous. And, of course, the snake, Satan was cursed also. And Adam and Eve, it fell on them. So if you've had a baby and it wasn't by cesarean, you know, it doesn't feel good. It's an ouchie. Praise God. I thought back when my kids were little babies, I thought, I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven, did it have to be, couldn't we have had babies a different way? Have a zipper in the front? Anyway. So was there any hope for Adam and Eve? Yes. And this is the first gospel in Genesis 3:15. Now, if you're new to Scripture and you haven't ever read this before, you say, what the heck does that verse mean? But it is the first gospel. And just if you don't understand it, don't worry about it. Put it on the shelf. One day you'll have more information and then you'll be able to pick it up. 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. That is the first gospel. Adam and Eve heard the first gospel for the first time, and this was a prophecy of both comings of Christ. First one is the second coming, when he will crush the serpent's head. And then the second is the tragedy of bruising Christ's heel, which would have been his first coming. There is a Redeemer coming, and it would happen through the means of the cross. It's just like if I gave you an assignment to do to go home and think up a way to be saved other than what we have. You would come up with fig leaves every time. It's just in our nature. Blood is just not a thing we would want to think about, or that God himself would have to die for us. We just don't think that way. But this is a prophecy of both the first and second coming of Christ, and there would be ultimate victory. Now, Satan thought to be earth would be his glorious reign, and he would instead be his final doom. Sin is a radical disease which calls for a radical cure. The trouble with us is we don't look at it as a very big thing. And I can hear someone just saying, well, it was only a piece of fruit. The fruit was not the problem. It was the disobedience was the problem. And we have a tendency to still do that. Well, it was only a little affair. We only met once. Or it was only a little mistake. And see, we qualify it. We don't see the hideousness of it. And we don't see how awful sin is. You know, I saw on TV while we were on break, 50 kids walk into a 7-Eleven store and take everything they wanted and walk out again. And they couldn't do a thing about it. There's not enough placement. There was no preparation. And I have to ask ourselves, what are we coming to? You know, anarchy seems to be right around the corner. So they took anything they wanted. And I said to myself, where were the parents? Didn't the parents ever teach them the difference between right and wrong, and that it's wrong to steal, that it's a crime? And then I thought, no, we've taught them to be like animals. We've taught them that they came up out of the slime, that they were evolved, that they answer to no one. So why not steal? Why not have premarital sex? Why not have an abortion? Just animals. That's what evolution leads us to. And I just wonder what's ahead. But if they think there's no God, payday is coming. Remember always, it wasn't the fruit, it was the act of disobedience. Then Adam and Eve stood there and watched God slit the throats, I think, of two sheep. The book I read said, no, it was probably two lambs. No, that doesn't cover much. That would put Eve in a bikini, I think. So I think it must have been a couple of sheep. We don't know. But God took the sheep, slit its throat, caught the blood, poured it out, and then on some kind of a makeshift altar of stones, the rest of the carcass was put up on and burned. Of course, the skin was saved, and God must have tanned it right before their eyes. Can you imagine watching a slaughter because of your sin? But they needed an innocent substitute, which is a picture of what Jesus is coming. They needed that innocent substitute to cover them. We too. What Calvary was all about. Sin is a horror, a dreadful disease. It calls for a radical cure. Now, these are probably the most important points that you can have out of the lesson today. I just want to take a minute to go over it. You've heard, and maybe you've even thought, that all ways lead to heaven just as long as you're sincere. You got to go back to Genesis. Because here we get a picture of what God is showing us is to come, the cross. There are three requirements in a sacrifice. The first thing is to notice that it was all done by God. Adam and Eve had nothing to do with this. They must have stood there in horror. The animal was God's gift to them. The Son of God is God's gift to us. What a picture. It was the Lord who furnished the skins to cover Adam and Eve. Our first parents did not even have to put on the clothing. It says God did in verse 21. I just missed that altogether the first time I studied. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He covered them. The sacrifice had to be an innocent substitute. The animal had no part in their sin. And because they weren't meat eaters, they had never seen death. In 2:17, it says that they would have died if God hadn't stepped in. That was part of what the Lord said to Adam. 2:17 says, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you will eat of it, you shall surely die. So God had to step in and clothe them, or they would have died. The third item is the atonement was made by the shedding of blood. This is so important when we get into looking at Cain next week. God would have slit the throat, caught the blood, poured it out, and then burned the carcass after he had clothed them. So I have to ask you the question, have you come to the cross? Anything else is fig leaves. You know, you can attend church every Sunday. You can even attend some churches every day. But that's fig leaves if you have not been born again. You must be born again. You must be born first, and then you must be born again, born twice, in order to meet the Lord. So I have to ask us, where are your sins today? Your sins are either on you or they're on the Lord. And that we have to ask him for that gift, God's gift. He died for your sins, the innocent for the guilty. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. Lord, there's so much here in Genesis. Help us to go slow with it, Lord, to find these truths, to see a pattern that you have set out. You went to the cross, the innocent, to die for the likes of us, to take our sins upon your body and be separated from the Father. What a cost that was, Lord. And we praise you and thank you. Thank you for this great salvation. Lord, there's anyone here today that has not taken that step, I pray before the day is out, they will come before you and ask for your forgiveness and ask for that precious blood that you shed to cleanse them of all of their sin, that they might not have fig leaves, but they might have a relationship with you to be a child of God. Oh, work here today, Lord. We need it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, one little question. In the book of Revelation, there was a little misunderstanding here, so I wanted to clear it up. The question is from 21:2 of Revelation. How is the New Jerusalem a bride? No, the New Jerusalem is Christ's building or Christ's whatever. And it will come down out of heaven. Who is her husband? Well, the husband here would be the Lord Jesus. And who is the bride? That's us, the church, the true believers. Isn't that beautiful, though, how Genesis is fulfilled in Revelation? That just touched my heart so much. And so I hope it was a blessing to you, too. Genesis says those cursed were the serpent and the ground, but all creation and man were punished. Yeah, everything. Obviously, he started, a serpent got cursed, but the man was going to have to work very hard by the sweat of his brow, and a woman would have pain in childbirth. You just need to reread that section. And the serpent was cursed because it was the devil. And why was the tree named the tree of good and evil? Why good? Well, they had good. But she wanted to go for evil. And that next time you see something horribly evil, just know you can thank Eve for that. Because it's awful Evil is awful. So I hope you hate it as much as God does. No, it was a temptation. You see, God didn't want little robots in heaven. He wanted people that loved him and come to him by faith. And if there wasn't any temptation in the garden, we'd all be little robots. You know? So God tested and we blew it. But we're all in the same boat. Rejoice. We're all sinners. Some of us are better sinners than others. Anyway, have a good week.